Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Today's show is brought to you by bombfell.com. For $25 off your first purchase, visit bombfell.com/glory.
Hello, this is Zach, previously from Texas, but having recently moved to Paducah. In response to last week's episode and the talk about slavery and the culture of the South and whatnot, growing up, our public education kind of screwed us in that it tried to skim over all of the slavery stuff and talk about it was land ownership rights and blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't until I grew up into adulthood and started looking outside of it that I realized that, oh, shit, that was entirely all about slavery. So thought that maybe that'd be a fun thing for you guys to hear. Glory hole. Have a good one, guys.
Hi, Tom and Cecil. My name's John. I'm calling from Ireland. I'm listening to episode 374. And I just heard Tom say that 6 million people were killed by the Nazis in the Second World War. And I'm sorry, I just can't believe that because there's so much evidence against that number. Frankly, I think you'll find it's closer to 20 to 21 million people. The 6 million, I think, just relates basically to institutional killings in concentration and death camps. That would be around 6 million. But if you look at the combined effect of genocide and democide, you're really looking at something in the region, at least the mid-20 million. Just go and research it. 6 million is such an underestimate. Now, I know that your basic Nazi's going to turn around and say it never happened, but those people weren't issued with brains when they were born. But take it from me, it's a hell of a lot more than 6 million. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys. I know it's just a slip of a tongue to Tom, but nice to be accurate. Bye now.
Advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. Just put it anywhere, man. I'm just trying to do the intro.
Okay.
You just go ahead and put some stuff.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's there.
Good. No, it's cool. It's cool. Okay. No. I can't be shaken. Do you know why?
Why?
Consummate motherfucking professional.
Yeah.
We blast anyone who gets in our way.
You consummate with professionals. Is what you're saying.
I consummate with anyone that says, yes, I won't press charges.
Today.
It's a lot of paperwork. We blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical. It's political. And there is... no welcome mat. This is episode 375 of Cognitive Dissonance.
We're going to have Michael Wood Jr., the police chief and cannabis aficionado on later.
He is, to be fair, he is a Twitter celebrity.
Twitter celebrity, which
he
is
huge.
He
has stood upon rocks.
He's huge on Twitter and he's taller than David Smalley.
I believe he's huge.
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 Yeah.
On Twitter.
And everybody's talking.
And I believe he described himself as a police talkie guy.
Police talkie dude, I thought he said.
I think it was police management dude.
Yeah. And
it's a great business
we're
going
to talk to him about some cannabis stuff that neither Tom nor I really have expertise in.
Well, I don't think he does either, to be perfectly fair. So doesn't stop him.
So we'll have a conversation later about stuff that probably we shouldn't be talking about.
All right. Let's get in over our heads.
Let's get weird, baby.
The Bible says they're going to eat their arms. The Bible says they're going to eat their babies. Then it says they're going to eat their children. That's what people do when they get hungry.
This story comes from nova-magazine.net. Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White: when you oppose President Trump, you are fighting against the hand of God. So Paula White was recently on the Jim Baker Show. Now, this is a little different because they were gathered on a fake dining room table.
Fake dining room. And it wasn't supported by buckets.
It is not. Although I think financially it is supported.
I guess that's
by
true.
Buckets, like I everything else.
It's the house that buckets built. So, yeah.
If you live in bucket houses, don't throw gringo meals.
This is a long clip. We're hoping we're going to get through the whole thing. It's just crazy start to finish. So this is the Jim Baker Show.
We're more impressed with a Saul anointing than a David anointing because we're more impressed with what looks right than what is right.
God help us.
Therefore, we choose things that we think should sound right, should act right, according. And they even say about our well, he's not presidential. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness he's terrible at his job. Thank goodness that he doesn't know the systems and can't work around things and get simple things passed.
Thank goodness he's ill-tempered. And thank goodness he's intellectually deficient.
And thank goodness he doesn't know the proper channels and just tells everybody, dictates through Twitter.
Right? And thank goodness he alienates members of his own party and can't get anything accomplished. Actually, thank goodness for that. Yeah, actually,
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. And I mean that with all due respect, because in other words, he's not a polished politician.
Hold on a second. When she says polished politician, she uses like 17 like air quotes, right? Yeah. She does the air quotes. You don't have to do the air quotes. It's what you really meant. Yeah. Right? Air quotes are when you're like, oh, this word really means a different word.
Yeah.
No, what you meant exactly that. You don't need the air quotes, didn't add anything.
I guess that's true.
To what you said there.
He's authentically, whether people like it or not, has been raised up by God because God
likes incompetent people. That's God likes to surround himself with incompetent people. So he looks like the ideal man.
I love what she's about. I cannot wait for the next series of assertions because they're just going to be astonishing to consider. What I want you to do before you hear what she says next, I want you to imagine if Hillary had won.
Yeah.
Just put it in your head right now. Just put it in your head and remember that Obama did win. Right. And they didn't say these things.
No, they said right? he was the old, he was evil, whatever.
Right.
When their guy wins, it's God raising him up.
Right.
When it's the other guy wins, it's Satan 1-1.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
God says that he raises up and places all people in places of authority. It is God that raises up a king. It is God that sets one down.
So God raise up Kim Jong-un? Did God raise up Pol Pot? Did God raise up Hitler and Stalin? Like all the monsters of history, God was like, well, I thought you guys would want an evil, tyrannical dictator.
You want to know what's real hard? Is when you're trying to figure out how their kin's gonna be. Because it turns out when you get yourself a king, you got yourself a prince now, didn't you?
It's not like I could have predicted that knowing all of it.
So when you fight against the plan of God, you're fighting against the hand of God.
So wait,
hold on. That's because God always swats you with his plan in his hand. He's like a rolled up newspaper. He just keeps swatting us on the nose with his plan.
The paraphrase for me here is, it's happening anyway. Yeah. You might as well enjoy it.
God is going to insert his fist in you.
We were not sent into this earth to fit in or just to, we weren't just sit here to be a part. We were sent here.
What does that mean? What? We weren't just set here to fit it.
Here to take over.
Right. Are you listening?
Wow.
That's the church.
Oh.
That's why we have the president we have. He doesn't fit.
Amen.
Amen. He does not fit.
He is aggressively not fitting. No amount of lube is going to make that guy fit, right? And that's, you can't grease that fucker up enough.
Shoot him up with the fucking guns from Ghostbusters.
He's not a normal president.
He's not a normal person.
He's not a normal.
He's garbage.
Doesn't he sound like he's going to say person there? And he's like,
he's not a normal president. Man. And here's a woman who is from the bottomlands.
Yes.
What?
But God has raised her up to the White House. Oh,
yeah. It's talking about her. It's talking about Paul
White. What are the bottomlands?
Paul White, who's gone through the valley of the shadow of death time and time again.
Yes.
She now can walk into the White House anytime she wants to.
Oh, she has a key?
Yeah.
She's got a key to the front. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't even have to knock anymore. The Secret Service is like, oh, it's Paul Letterman. Really?
I don't know why they sound like that. She's with the other racists.
So. Oh, she's Paula White. It's fine.
Yeah, you're going to want to go to the right wing.
She has full access to, in the Bible days, the king, the president.
Why
does she have full access? Tell us, because she's a pretty white preacher, right? Is that what you're going to say?
Because God used her and broke her.
That's also another way that you could get full access to things. Being used and broke.
I feel like that's what uses and breaks you, is just trying to gain full access without the proper prep work.
Used her and broke her.
Can I just say, I'm going to edit and use that clip. That's a clip I'm saving. That is a clip I'm saving. God used her and broke her.
I've watched that video so many times.
She comes away. She says, is there some place in the White House I could shower?
is there a shower big enough where I can hug my knees?
Oh, if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to rock back and forth and cry my name.
Yes.
I want you to read her book.
Right, see it top right there? It says, read this and you'll be ready for great success. President Donald.
Now, most people don't get a president to introduce a book. I need help to stay on the air. You know what it means.
Yes,
I'm so tired of raising money, but you have to do it.
You have,
yeah, because you need a new car. Because you, you're in a fucking suit on a beautiful set. You're a fucking rich individual, man. You're so tired of raising money. That's your literal job. You do all day is you go to a place that has people to give you money for garbage. Fuck you. You're tired of doing it. That's your job.
I have to.
Because God's got great things coming here. I've been shaken until my shoes have been shaken off.
Amen.
Because you were a criminal.
He was a baby, though, Tom.
That and explains why I'm not good at math.
He's the reason why we have those billboards.
And God is shaking again.
He wouldn't be alive if his shoes came off, though. The shoes come off. You're gone. That's it.
That is really like the limitation of your body is how your shoes stay on you.
Right?
Like you watch when like the people get by the trains, like shoes right off.
Shoes off.
Fucking
gone.
Right off. Yeah. Like the shoes are like your armor.
Did he dead? Like, yeah.
When you get by a car, shoes came off. Well, he's fucked.
You know what, though? It's a pretty good litmus test. I feel like if I get hit so hard my biscuits are just shoes? I'm staying here.
When one of them loses, like you lose one and it goes into orbit, you know you're fucked.
Right?
You're fucked.
Shaking America, people.
Amen.
And it's time. You better be ready.
Yes.
Because we're going to have the harvest time. It's honestly going to be the greatest time.
Well, then why do I can't wait then. It's going to be the greatest time.
It's
going to
be the greatest time, but you're going to need to survive it, though. Buy my buckets, Tom.
It's going to be the greatest.
Buy my buckets.
I'll buy your buckets. How much are they?
You can make a nice table if you put some plywood on a
tablecloth on top. That shit's worse than fucking IKEA furniture, right?
It's heavier, that's for sure.
Gave us a president who said we're not going to murder babies. You can't be blessed and murder 50 million babies. You can't.
Well, I don't need to murder all 50 million myself.
Well, it depends. I mean, what are you blessing them with? If you're blessing them with baby blood, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
If you can.
Si se puede. Si se puede.
I'll tell you what. A world. I said here, why did I recommend people to vote for Donald Trump?
Because you're a right-wing lunatic.
Because you're right-wing.
It's good for your business.
Because it is fucking, it doesn't matter who gets in there is good for his business because he's going to spin it some way or the other.
Yeah, that's true.
No matter what. But it's really good for him because those are the people, like we've found out that the Johnson Amendment wasn't being enforced anyway because they just didn't have the personnel to enforce it. But he ran on a platform and fucking Johnson Amendment goes away. So that's one reason. The other reason is that he doesn't like abortion. Again, something your followers like, so that you in turn, you know, when you sell people to vote for him, you're just, all you're doing is echoing what your followers want to hear.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's also like, this is the kind of guy who's going to reap the rewards of any kind of tax reform. Mm-hmm. If Trump got anything
absolutely
done. So he'll make the same amount. He'll sell the same number of fucking buckets. I'm right there with
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. But he'll make more money.
He'll keep more.
Yep.
Right.
And I did it for 6 months.
Thank you.
Every day.
Yes.
And people wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
I mean, I got those people out there watching. Hi, guys.
That's us.
They're paid to watch me to try to hurt me.
Yeah, I understand.
And they come here sometimes, some of them try to hurt me. That's all right. Jesus is with me, so amen. I'm going to be with him some one of these days. So I don't have my hope down here anymore. But here's the thing. The reason I endorsed Donald Trump, first of all, God told me to.
And well, that would be the only reason.
I know. What's the next reason?
What?
First of all, the only reason I have for you is God told me to. Guys, that's enough, right? Is that, are we cool with that? Pinkies?
I still do what my dad asks me to do. Like,
this was his honey-do list.
Right?
Platform. We're sitting on a platform. Yes, this is what you call a stage, a platform. But the platform of Donald Trump says, I'm against abortion. Mm-hmm. The platform says he wants to appeal the Johnson Amendment, which he's already, you were there when he signed it, right?
Yes.
And there's the pen.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's a pen. It's a pen.
It's the pen.
It's
a pen.
It's the pen that they used to sign an amendment that they weren't even really paying attention to anyway.
I don't care if it's a pen they fished out of Paula White's ass. Like, who cares?
They did, actually. Come on.
Again, who cares?
It's the one that Trump used his little tiny Bulgarian fingers in.
See, this is the pen. I felt like, the heavens had opened. I can't describe this moment. And all, the inauguration and this were probably two of the
there you are, with all those men went, back there. And they're there in the pink dress.
I was like, I mean, when I say, I just give God all the glory because people don't, I think, fully understand.
Can I touch
this.
That pen?
Yes, sir.
This is what I waited for most of my life.
Oh, listen to that fake shaky voice. God. Yeah, I fucking hate that fake shaky voice shit. I am so emotional. I am distraught. You should also be distraught with happiness.
Merry Christmas, building and loan. Merry Christmas. God. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Anytime I hear that,
Zuzu's
fucking
battles.
Do you just want to hit him right in the throat?
I really do. Like, he's shaking the pen. He's like, this is what I waited for my whole life. The government taking less of my money and me being able to talk about politics.
Fuck.
Yes.
The government has tried to destroy the church people for decades and decades and decades.
How?
I don't know.
What? How?
So many decades.
Taking your money away? Your money away as a priest? Yeah, that's what they're trying. Or, you know, making it so you can't talk about fucking.
You can't endorse a specific candidate.
Because you don't pay taxes?
And he said, as long as I am president, no more ground. And he signed with this pen. Can you see the pen? Signed with this pen.
It's a pen. It's just his, look at his shaky fucking shitty hands.
This one here. I really can't sign my name anymore.
Jesus, the guy couldn't fucking draw a straight line.
Fucking amazing.
In the name of Jesus, we speak that. Ora mana shanda karaba. No corre nemene jede che debo riuscire che libera sana. Uka chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka.
All right, this is from Right Wing Watch. This is more of Paula White. Also still.
Also still.
Also still, but yes,
still also.
Indeed. the fuck?
Hello, and welcome.
I'm going to use every conjunction at the same time. Paula White is still also, but yes, on the Jim Baker show.
Yeah, because she showed up one time and there's just a bunch of tape from it. Right, so yeah, there's a bunch of different articles because they edited this tape out into little schmidgens that they can sort of make fun of.
Dole out, right. Yeah. So Trump is under spiritual attack because demons are afraid of his SCOTUS appointments.
Hmm. Of course they are.
Right? Demons are afraid of the...
Oh, someone pointed this out on Facebook, and it's so awesome. The best part about this is someone had said, someone really needs to Photoshop a cock in her hands.
Right now?
And what an absolute perfect moment. If you right go there. For the frozen moment of this image before this video starts, her mouth is open and her hands are sort of in front of her face. It would be a perfect moment. So here it is. Here's
Paula. Hold on a second. Do you think they're going to talk about the 28-ounce extreme survival
water bottle.
What makes a water bottle extreme survival?
You could fill it with gravy.
And also 28 ounces?
Yeah, 28 ounces is not extreme.
I feel like that's not a lot of survival either.
28 ounces? That's nothing.
Right?
It's not even a big gulp. Like, that's like a little gulp.
I showed up to get coffee the other day and the guy's like, yeah, it's nitro coffee. So it's got 3 times the caffeine. I'm like, yeah, it sounds good. I'll take a large. And so he hands me the large and it's fucking diminutive.
How
big
was it?
Like 12 ounces or something.
Oh, that's tiny.
And I was like, the fuck? And he's like, well, it's got 3 times the caffeine. I'm like, well, I'm going to need 2. Yeah. You can't give me 12 ounces.
How was it? Was it okay?
It was outstanding, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's outstanding. It's delicious. Local place called Java Plus.
Yeah.
Have you had nitro?
Uh-uh.
It's delicious.
What is it?
It's soft. It's coffee that's basically got nitrogen dissolved into it like carbon dioxide, but nitrogen bubbles are tiny, tiny.
Oh, so it's like a Guinness.
Yeah.
It's like a coffee Guinness.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Oh, I'd try that.
Soft
and
a little
good.
Sweet.
That sounds good. I would try that.
How can the president withstand the hatred and the pressure? Everything he says.
He literally doesn't even pay attention to any of that. He just makes it into other... He'll just lie. Like, how does he withstand it? Real easy. He just makes shit up.
Well, I feel like, how can he withstand? Like, he fights hate with hate.
Yeah. He's like, also the most powerful person in our country. So he just withstands it by saying,
he just yells it. But plus, like, just from a practical perspective, he just yells at everybody. That's what he does. Somebody's like, I've got criticism. He's like, fuck! He just yells fucking gibberish at them and asks them bizarre rhetorical questions, then drifts off into the middle distance. It's literally what he does.
Turn it around.
Yeah.
Paula, there's never been hatred like this.
I've never.
No.
Obama was loved.
Never been hatred like this. Everybody loved Obama.
To a president.
Never in my life seen.
They want to trip him up. They asked for him to be assassinated even.
I've never in my life. Okay, I'm going to even take it further, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take
it further.
Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And there are people right now that are sending hate mail to me right now that are going to say, I can't believe you say this, but you've got to recognize what the real deal is. Especially if you are a Christian right now, you have a responsibility that Jesus Christ gave you the infallible word of God and told you that you are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against...
What's wrong with her voice?
I don't know. I think she had a stroke or something.
Is she chewing 7 pieces of gum right now? It sounds like she's like got something clogging up the back of her throat.
I will say every one of these people though can talk that Jesus mumbo jumbo so well that they can just go into autopilot mode and talk about it. And that's what she's doing right now is going into autopilot mode.
Oh, this principalities bullshit.
Garbage.
Yeah.
It's Jesus autopilot. And it's just so, I mean, it's so interesting to watch someone. It's like when you talk to a gender studies person, they just get metaphysical and you know what's coming. You just know what's
darkness against wickedness. And so, you know, the quadrants of the enemy and the principalities are going crazy because
I think she just had her tongue pierced. I think that's what that's the sound
crazy.
I'm getting.
Principalities want to control nations by controlling a person, and principalities cannot control this man because he surrounds himself with Christians.
Wait, principalities can't control this man. Isn't he like in charge of, I mean, our country?
I don't understand. I think she's saying like the principalities are demons, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't know.
I think principalities in this.
Is that what that book, The Little Prince, is about?
I think she's talking about demons can't control Trump because he surrounds himself with good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's why. They won't even go. He's not so good.
No, he's just
that he's uncorruptible, right?
He's protected,
but he's got a ring. He's got like a fucking barrier. Yeah. Of
not
decent
only
human
does
beings.
He have a bunch of Secret Service people that protect against the physical, and that we now have taxed in the 7 months that he's been in office.
I know, right?
That they don't have a budget to follow him around anymore. Not only does he have that, but he also has spiritual protectors too, which are like pocket protectors.
Yeah, no, less effective.
He is a Christian. He is a Christian. He loves prayer. And like John said,
Donald Trump. That's Donald a
Trump,
reach.
Donald Trump loves whatever will get people to to think he's. I used to say get people to like him, but I don't know that that's true.
Pay attention to him.
Yeah. I think is better.
Yeah, he is a fucking girl showing his tits at Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
okay. That's all that this guy is.
His whole entire presidency should just be measured in beads.
I know, right?
Fierce. He has a fortitude. He has an inner strength, but no man could withstand in
Nobody
the natural
no.
this kind of pressure. So I'm going to take it a step further. We've got to pray. Yeah. I mean,
I would argue he's barely withstanding it.
Also,
at all.
You're going to take it a step further and wish real hard at him. Is that what you're going to do? Woo! Thank goodness.
People are being mean to the most powerful person.
Goodness.
In the world.
Is there any way you could wish better in his general direction?
Pray, but fervently pray. Yes. Men ought to always pray and not faint. We have a response.
What? Men should pray and not faint?
What?
And are those my only two options? What do you do? I was going to pray.
Yeah, I'm a fainting human. Whenever you open a fucking umbrella around me, I just fall over.
Legs stiff in the air.
I have fencing response immediately. I'm just like...
responsibility, whether you like him or don't like him, you can't stand in God's word and not be responsible to pray for those who are in positions of authority. It is...
Again, think about what you're saying about Hillary. Right. You cannot be in the world and not pray for people in authority.
Do you think they were praying for her in a loving way when she was Secretary of State?
Do you think that they were praying for Obama?
Right, exactly. No, of course not. No. Of course not. They were telling an entirely different story. It was not God has raised this man up and we should all just fucking kowtow to his authority because if God didn't love him, he wouldn't have reached this position of authority. That's what they're saying here, right?
Yeah.
And that he's surrounded, he's a good Christian. Obama was a Christian, right?
Yeah.
So, but none of that played. Now we've got the white guy in charge.
Yeah.
Who happens to be on your side. He plays for your fucking baseball team.
Yeah.
So it's a totally different story.
It's a totally different story.
It's our God-given mandate. It is our responsibility. You've got to pray the will of God to be done for him and through him. You've got to pray in alignment, not soulish prayers. Because if you pray soulish prayers, they're going to backfire and come back on you. And
what does that even mean?
No, no, that's true. I'm rubber, you're glue.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you say bounces off of me, Tom. I don't know if it's scriptural.
Right, yeah.
Bounces off of me. And goes to you.
That is true. I think that's actually a direct quote from First Schoolyards chapters 1 and 2.
Please open the book of rubber cements to
you can't get in trouble with Satan if you're on Ghoul.
Yeah,
actually.
That's true. That's
so
absolutely
it's fine.
True.
Yeah.
God, even back then we had safe spaces. You know what I mean? That's a problem. We've infantilized ourselves.
You don't go to hell anymore. You basically just lose the game of hot lava. Yeah.
There's all these demons. You go down there, they're on couch cushions.
That which you are praying against will come back. And that which you judge another person with, that judgment will be met upon you. And destruction will come to your own family because that's what the word of God tells us.
Why is my family fucked up? Because I prayed wrong. My fucking kid's like, I would like some Crunch Bears. Like, sorry, I prayed wrong. There's a demon who's going to pitchfork your ass now.
You need to eat this bag of dicks.
The word of God says we are to pray in accordance to the word for those in authority. That
what the fuck does that mean?
Pray in accordance to the word for those in authority.
Oh,
it means It's fucking garbledy flowers, man. It's nothing.
Live peaceable. Yeah. So we've got to pray for our president. We've got to pray for our Senate.
Yes.
We've got to pray for our Congress.
Yes.
We've got to pray for every person that I'm...
For every white person.
All the... it was perfect.
And those like six black people in Congress.
No, they don't count. No.
Actually, yeah, they're a minority vote anyway. They're Democrats,
it makes no difference.
I'm going to take it further. Our acts of faith, because more than just praying, we've got to do something. Because this man, I have never...
Yeah, because we recognize praying isn't doing shit.
Yeah.
Right?
More than praying, we have to do something. And that is... Give me your money.
I know, right? I love that shit. I love when they tacitly acknowledge a prayer isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, more than praying, we've got to accomplish a task.
Yeah.
Because we all know that's some bullshit.
You
right?
know how to amplify your prayer. 70 easy payments in 1995.
Seen the battles. You really want me to get into all this?
Yes.
Because we've got 130 vacancies in the lower court, and he is appointing exactly what we have asked for, why we put him in position.
Yes.
As the president, we said we will put you in because we want originalists. We want constitutionalists.
Yes.
We want...
Right-wing Republicans.
Right.
We want activist judges. Yeah. That's what we want.
Who's surprised
by this? Everybody does that. Whoever gets in office, that's what they do.
They put in their guys.
Fucking newsflash.
That's the job. It's literally the job.
Our Supreme Court to be like Neil Gorsuch. He did it in the fastest, which was an absolute miracle by God. Because
it's not a miracle by God that they had fucking control of the House and Senate and the presidency.
Right? What's the...
If it's the miracle, then God changed the vote. We've already talked about this a dozen times.
That had not been done since 1881, but we've got 130. And what does lower court appointments have to do with your everyday living? With your everyday living? Because Supreme Court justices...
I don't go to court every day. I don't go to court very often at all.
If you're Jim Baker, you probably do.
Right?
They just have a room for him. It's like a green room. You just show up. Oh, Jim, you're getting sued again? Come on in.
Here, pee in this cup.
We're going to need to check your ankle bracelet.
I'm going to watch while you pee. I can't fucking trust you. You have to pull out a rubber dick.
Come on, if we get two more. And right now, I know right now, we are scaring the literal hell out of demonic spirits by saying this right now. Because if we get two more, we will be able to overturn demonic laws and decrees that has held this nation in captivity. Please pray for me because I am stirring up and I cause...
Why do I need to pray for you?
Yeah, because
she seems fine.
Yeah, she does seem fine. Is she saying we need two more justices to die on the Supreme Court? Is
die
that what
or retire?
Saying?
Yeah. Uh huh.
That's nice. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wish death on a lot of different people, but I always thought that was kind of against your rules.
Yeah, right. It's not against mine.
Yeah, I don't have any rules.
Yeah.
I just killed like six hobos on the way here, so I'm fine.
Now every demonic network to be scattered, every demonic gathering to be scattered, every monitoring eye to be pierced right now in the name of Jesus.
I feel fine.
What?
She's pointing directly at me and I feel just
monitoring
fine.
Monitoring mine.
I am monitoring her right now.
I don't like when people look at the things I do on television. You're on TV, you stupid bitch.
All these faithful people are wearing eye patches tomorrow.
What the fuck? Like, oh, here, what? The other guys were watching us when we went on TV. The fucking what?
When your family, the righteousness of God by the blood of Jesus right now, that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. We lift up our president and we pray over him and Melania and all of his children and all of his family and all those that are called to him to hold up his arms, that you will cover them by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that he will carry out works of righteousness in Jesus' name.
I mean, we probably have listeners right now that can do what she just did.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, it's clearly a skill to work yourself up into that prayer lather.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what that is. It's like, it's a good soapy prayer lather.
Yeah.
And it's boring and it's repetitive as fuck.
Yeah. And the worst part is that the happy ending is not so happy.
They don't even wipe your belly when you're done.
So, Tom, you got some new clothes recently.
I did. So I got a shipment from Bombfell. I got my first shipment from Bombfell. And here's the deal. So you go online. It's actually, it's pretty awesome. You go online and you put in information about your body, right? And I have a weirdly shaped, shitty body.
You have a shitty body.
I know, right?
Very and so weird.
Buying clothes kind of sucks, right? Because you sure. go, to, you know, it really it, does.
Okay, for example,
right.
we recently got sized with a friend of ours mm-hmm. for shirts, right? So we went in because we were all trying to buy dress shirts and we were sized by for our shirts. Every single one of us had a different thing about us that made us not a normal, quote unquote, right. normal shirt. One of us had shorter arms. I had longer arms. And then you just were fucked up. Like you had a weird, like they were just like, looked at you and they're like, we can't make a shirt to fit you. And why? No, but I'm genuinely, I'm not kidding.
Uh-huh.
You cannot buy
I
a shirt
buy clothes
because
off
your
the rack.
Neck is big
right.
and your arms are short. And every time they basically give you a fucking parachute with arms in it.
Yeah. I can't typically buy clothes off the rack that don't look utterly ridiculous. They just look asinine. They do.
Yeah.
And so buying clothes is actually just a huge pain in the ass. But this is actually really cool. So you go on Bombfell, right? And you fill out like your height, your weight, but then you also tell them like what kind of like what your body shape is. Like, is it an oval? Is it like a circle? Is it a trapezoid? Right. So you give them some indication of, you know, like not just the basics, not just like, yeah, I got a fucking 18-inch neck. I get an 18-inch neck. That's like a 3X dress shirt. I look more on my dad's clothes, right? Yeah. I look absurd.
Yeah.
You put in information about your body type, right? Then you tell them like what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of brands you wear. You actually fill out like a whole questionnaire. Then they set you up with a personal stylist. And I'll be honest, I wondered if it was a bot. I did. I wondered if it was a bot. But then I got a shipment of clothes. I went on. I tried them on. They are the two, other than the ones that I've had, honestly, other than the two shirts that I, or the other shirts that I've had that have been made to measure, these are the best fitting shirts I have ever owned. They are outstanding shirts. They are awesome. The pants that I got didn't fit. So I sent them back. I immediately get an email back from the stylist, who's an actual person. It's like, yeah, I picked your clothes out. I'm sorry they didn't fit. Then we have an exchange back and forth, an actual exchange with a human being. And then they send me back a pair of pants that fits like a fucking glove. It's a great system. It's a great system. I got clothes that actually genuinely fit. And they look good, and you get a personal stylist that you can communicate with.
If you're interested, you can go to bombfell.com. There's no code word, but you have to go to bombfell.com/glory, and you can get $25 off your first purchase if you go to bombfell.com/glory.
We are joined by Michael Wood, Twitter aficionado and police management dude.
Self-described. Self-proclaimed
police management dude.
Don't beat me up. Whatever.
Don't
beat me up.
Fuck that guy. I will make fun of him. I don't give a fuck. He's 2,300 miles away. I feel
credit card and access to an airline. You're a crazy person.
This is the safest I've ever felt with Michael Wood. So right now, knowing that he just told us he's in LA. Yeah,
he's in LA. So and he's far away.
That's it. So welcome, murderer.
God,
I really thought your show would have improved after all this time.
Clearly not a current listener.
Gosh, no. Thanks for coming back on the show, Michael.
Of course. You know, I love you guys.
So
for some weird reason,
before we start, I do want, you know, you've got kind of like a cause celeb that you wanted to talk about. You know, something that's very near and dear to your heart. And that's the cause of Little Rock. And Little Rock is the capital of Arkansas. It's a city on the Arkansas River, home to the William Clinton Presidential Library. Very, very important stuff. Very excited to talk to you about Little Rock. Thank you.
Veterans for Little Rock.
Right.
I'm not even sure how to transition out of that.
Did I get it wrong? No, wait, hold on. I can do better.
You can.
It's the Indian one. It's Starved Rock. Starved Rock is a state park. It's now a wilderness area on the Illinois River. Beautiful. Not actually too far from here.
No, it's not.
I'm not sure why he's in LA talking about Starved Rock, but it's that's the other Indian rock, right? There's no other important Indian rocks. Rocks are the only things the Indians have at this point, right? It's just rocks and casinos.
He's not going to talk about Indians. He's going to talk about how he's going to get the veterans together and protect all the monuments to General Lee in the United States, right? That's what we're doing, right? Is that
one soldier to another, not actually a soldier. He's a Marine. Don't make the mistake. He'll correct you.
This is like Eli Bosnick.
Standing Rock.
You guys are the worst. I swear.
That's why you're here,
he's
buddy.
Not even, he's like, I'm not even going to. Yeah.
Police management, dude.
Yeah.
Here to talk about Standing Rock.
Standing Rock. Veterans for Standing Rock.
Are we pro Standing Rock? I don't remember.
Yeah, being on your show is just interesting thing.
I got to ask a question, though. Wasn't this settled? I mean, didn't we settle this Standing Rock thing? Didn't they pull back and say, no,
I thought we did because they were playing Standing Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yeah.
And then the somebody threw frozen water, and I'm not sure how that turned out.
The government was throwing a lot of paper, and then...
I'm just going to let you run around.
There's just silence on the other end while he struggles desperately to come.
No, but seriously, isn't this resolved? Like, wasn't this resolved already?
No, nothing's ever seems to be resolved. It was the normal democratic process of the liberals that we love called kicking the can down the street and leaving it into Trump's hands.
Okay, so wind us all the way back for anybody who's not familiar with the issues around Standing Rock. This is relative to the Dakota Access Pipeline. So tell me a little bit as if I didn't know and had not done extensive research prior to this interview. You know,
of course.
I just pretend. Yeah, I just
make believe that we don't know anything about this.
So the DAPL, which is the Dakota Access Pipeline, was encroaching.
That's such a friendly name. A DAPL?
Really,
how
genuinely.
How do you oppose a DAPL?
It sounds like a kind of pie, right?
A dapple pie.
It's delicious.
It's like you can have a dappled horse. Yeah. You can have lighting can dapple. I like that. Right. We are opposed
to
dappling.
So the rich guys wanted the dapple pie. The rich guys wanted the dapple pie, but the dapple pie belonged to the Standing Rock Sioux. And to draw attention to them drawing a pipeline through the land, Bobby Jean Three Legs ran across the country to
movement.
Bobby Jean Three Legs. And I didn't even want to go there. I knew that.
You don't need to talk about his legendary
Bobby
third leg.
Jean
okay?
Three Legs.
I know. It's like a softball to use, too.
His legendary third leg.
That is
we
the
understand.
Most badass fucking Indian name ever, right? It's like, oh, I'm like Dancing Bear or whatever. It's like, I got the name. It means I got a giant dick.
It's a woman. She's a woman, but
even bigger dick.
It's 2017. This is not mutually exclusive anymore.
So they start a camp in the way of the pipeline to continue the protest at running through native land. That was Osetie Sacajawean that most people know. And the state police were brought in to be the militarized wing of private interest and began brutalizing the Native American people and protesters so that they could get profits running with an oil pipeline going under a pipeline.
That is so crazy to steal Indian land for profits and use the government as the heavy.
It's like weird. That's ever been done. That's what really drew attention to the issue.
We should have a treaty or something. Yeah. To see if we can't resolve.
Maybe three of them, because there's actually three of them in this case, which have all been violated.
Oh,
well, let's be entirely fair, though. Like, this is exactly what we've always done to the Native American population. We give them the worst, shittiest, garbagiest parts of the country because we've taken everything from them that we like. And then later, if we find out, oh, turns out we like the shit we gave you before, we're going to take that too.
Takes these back.
Right? It's just that, yeah. I mean, they don't call Indian giving for nothing. Oh.
Yeah, how come, why did the Indians get blamed for that when the ones?
Yeah, no kidding, right? It's like us, we did that.
Well, I feel like it works the other way too, though. You could be like, are you going to give it to the Indians? Well, we're going to Indian give it to you. You know what I mean?
Hey, now.
Okay. I think we've just been using the wrong pronunciation.
Okay, so, all right. So the police come in and they give everybody like Indian burns or however. Like, those hurt. Those do hurt.
They sting.
They do. I don't like them.
With capsaicin on their hands. Now, hold on. I did see some of these protests. They were fucking brutal.
They were.
Like,
brutal.
They were hosing people down.
In freezing temperatures.
In freezing temperatures. There was they were sicking dogs on people. I saw people being beat with clubs. I don't know. Did they employ any other torture devices I'm unaware of?
I mean, they shot them with big rubber pellets. They used the water and froze them, shut off power, blocked off supplies, shut down communications. All kinds of stuff. It was nice.
Wow.
So that's what got me involved.
And this was land that legitimately belonged to this population, right? I mean, by law.
Because there is some back and forth with that. People are saying that I saw some images that said that these people aren't on property that they own. They were just on a burial ground or something that didn't belong to them. Was that ever resolved? No,
there's a treaty that says that this is undeclared land. And what happened is the federal government said they wanted to buy the land, and they put billions of dollars in an account. And the Standing Rock Sioux said, no, we do not want that money. We're not selling you that land. So that money still sits there, and the Standing Rock Sioux could pull that if they wanted to, and they do not. They did not cede that territory per that treaty. But then those people are actually arguing about, is this the first time, second time, or third time we're going to steal the land? So I don't really find that legitimate.
Jesus Christ.
Now, did they try to negotiate with beads and to see if maybe that would induce them?
Maybe if they bring them smallpox blankets, you could just do that as a way to...
It's really a heritage thing.
Yeah, it's not hate. It's just heritage.
Heritage.
Yeah. It's heritage. So I know that you and some other people got together to try to stop this.
Well, right. And so it drew my attention for those same reasons that you said with the Native Americans, because the third principle of American policing to me is the continued genocide of the Native American nations. So that whole situation up there encapsulated all the three things that I say are wrong with policing executed all at once. So that was to highlight the policing issue is what I cared about. Other people cared about the environmental issue. Not that I didn't care, but okay, I didn't care. And
well, that's a significant concern, though, right? I don't want to let's not gloss over that for the audience. Like, it's a significant concern about why pipelines.
It was supposed to go through Bismarck, the white neighborhood, and the white neighborhood was like, no, that's like totally dangerous to our environment.
Okay, but that's fair because white people count more. We know that.
Apparently, yes.
Like, if you're brown, you're 3/5. Is that the number?
No, I can't remember. They stopped that a while back, Tom.
They did?
Yeah.
Well, what do Native Americans count at? What's their percentage?
Much less than 3/5.
And it's not 3/5.
No.
All right, so the white people said no, so it had to go somewhere else, obviously.
Obviously. So brown people, of course, it's always a decision. And so when they went to put it through, Wes Clark Jr. cared a lot about the veteran issues and kind of like a spiritual cause. And he called me up and wanted to do the response with veterans up there to stand in the front line, stand with the Standing Rock Sioux, coordinate with them and serve them in the concept of to protect the people of this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And literally we identified a domestic enemy and wanted to stand there non-peacefully in front and say, if you're going to do this, you're going to go through us.
Did you say non-peacefully?
No, non-violent. Maybe I did say non-peacefully. That was probably...
You said non-peacefully.
That's what you call Freudian slip.
I feel like if you're getting non-peaceful, people are paying fucking attention.
So how many of them did you kill?
Well, there are no more state police.
So
just period. Yeah. You kill all the state police. Just all
I tried to avoid. So yes, the message was nonviolence, but I
and also the message was come at me, bro.
Yeah, the message was I'm gonna tattoo a teardrop for every one of you that I kill.
So after we had coordinated everything, Wes went up there to try and coordinate everything with the Standing Rock Sioux, make sure we were doing what they were doing and set things up on the ground while I stayed in LA doing a bunch of meetings and doing the media stuff. And we raised just over $1 million to try and get veterans up there. And then veterans signed up on a roster of 2,000. It went too super fast. And we said, please, no more than 2,000. And we're hoping we could somewhere float around there that some people wouldn't show up. But when we went to go up a couple weeks later, there was already thousands there before I even got there. And estimates are like 4,000 people, veterans ended up showing.
Wow.
So that's a lot of people in over their head. But the ultimate goal was to get the attention drawn up there for the Standing Rock Sioux to put a halt to the pipeline. And that was largely achieved because President Obama said, okay, we're going to send it back to a review. We're going to kick the can down the pipeline. That was another one.
So, but that pipeline is also going to go through native lands. So, I don't know. It's a fucking whole thing.
So, in another one of those great liberal ideas, entrusted that to the next president and not actually doing anything about it. But that was a temporary.
But to be fair, we were supposed to get a different president. So,
well, let's not say that one would have done anything different. So, when that happened, then everybody had to kind of stand down. A lot of people went up there, like, wanting that fight that I Freudian slipped myself into. And we ended up having a lot of lessons learned about a bunch of peeping on a situation where they wanted a fight and having an epic blizzard come through in the middle of everyone being there. And the turning into this reactionary force to fight police brutality and suddenly having to be a FEMA mission to rescue people out of a blizzard.
Oh my God.
That went well.
That went well. Ultimately, in that no one died.
How many of you guys Donner partied yourselves? Like, that's, I guess, the next.
I mean, it was really bad and it was close. I was trying to drive a GMC Yukon back and forth from the camp to the casino to get people rescued out of the camp when the blizzard hit. And the Yukon was just pushed off to the side of the road by, like, the wind. Like, nothing happened. I was just driving straight and it was. and we were trapped there.
I bet you wouldn't have bet on that.
Yeah, of course not. And it was negative temperatures, 40 to
casino.
You're not. I'm not even acknowledging that joke. Americans, casinos. So we move on. And of course, it was negative temperatures. If somebody wouldn't have been there, we would have all died. So that's the kind of the situation everybody was in. It became this.
So you went to fight the government, and then the government came in and saved you.
No, we did not do that. We did that ourselves. They would not come and help us. They had the roads blockaded and made it even more difficult for us to get the equipment in, and did not plow any of the streets, which was a problem, and didn't give us any resources. The closest route to the hospital is a bridge that they blocked off a long time ago. So people have to go hours away to even get to the hospital. They didn't even clear that bridge during this.
It's almost like they saw you as the enemy.
Almost.
Well, were the protests by and large from your side of the camp? You said people went there, you know, kind of looking to have a fight. Were they by and large peaceful on your side of the camp? Like, were you the...
Yeah, everybody ended up being peaceful. You know, a lot of people wanted to take action. So a lot of those lessons were learned and how it's a lot easier to mobilize people than to organize them towards a specific goal versus their own desires in being a part of activism.
I think that's actually a really important distinction, right? Like, getting people excited and riled up is easy, but getting people, you know, maintaining and planning and making sure that all the logistics are in play for something that's going to be a long-term event, you know, or an event that's going to require, you know, where's everyone going to piss? Like, what's everybody going to eat? What if the weather turns
logistics
bad?
Behind it is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's easy to get people to show up with a fucking rucksack and be like, yeah, I'm here. It's a lot harder to make that, you know, turn into something that's actually worthwhile.
Right. So we need to have organization in place first before anyone does anything like that. And to think about those organizational lines and that the front lines are not always the most effective way to do it. So when we want to go out there, and even when it comes like this modern Nazi thing that we're dealing with, to go out there and be on the front lines and draw attention to it, we're learning maybe isn't really the best path. The best path that has been to affect the Zappel protest has been divestment and the court systems and rallying around that versus that hugely expensive and dramatic thing that we did, which provided just a temporary halt.
So what's going to happen now? I mean, like, clearly there's some sort of push. What is the plan now?
Well, we want people to understand those lessons and that movements should be designed with, like, building a community around them and not necessarily focused on those immediate achievement goals when you're going up against such a big behemoth of a thing. And if we would have done all this and to begin with, then we would have recognized the biggest thing to me and the biggest learning lesson was the extent of post-traumatic stress among our veterans. And in the middle of this blizzard with this stressful situation, something that I thought was, I don't know, a talking point, something that wasn't a true issue, was dramatically affecting the veteran community. And it wasn't being addressed and taken care of And
tell me about that. What do you mean specific? Like, okay, so you've got all these veterans and some of them are suffering from PTSD. And how did that affect your ability to?
There was paranoia about mercenaries and assassins coming to kill people. And the flashback, the confrontational aspect of it pushed people into this defensive mode. Like they were really viewing the cops and other people as like a true combat enemy that we should be fighting, not something that we were a peaceful action in response to. And so a lot of my efforts were spent in protecting lives and reeling in a mode that people were easily getting kicked back into because they had never been properly taken care of.
That's crazy.
I'm just speechless to
yeah,
that.
I'm just speechless.
Yeah. Like I
was too. And so we had to figure out how to get past that. And getting past that, we have learned that these things need to be built locally with a lot of self-care provided through, and we need to move. We are taking the veteran stand concept and we're pushing it aside. That is not, we're not ready to make a stand. And our CEO, that since we're dissolving that, he's branching off to build up an organization that is building the resources for the post-traumatic stress through non-pharmaceutical ways, such as through cannabis or psychedelics or something like that, so they can get off of these pharmaceuticals that they're dependent on, because we were in the blizzard, so people ran out of medicine and stuff like that. And because cannabis is illegal, that's something you could have used to help people, but you can't get it and you can't even come through with it because it's all illegal.
Wouldn't they just run out of cannabis too? I mean, like you just run, like whatever the thing is that you're medicating yourself with, if you don't plan for X, then you're not going to have enough of that.
Let me explain something to you about potheads. Okay, so when I drove, I had to drive to the West Coast, moving here, right? And I realized we only had enough cannabis to get to Denver. And we had to be there by the second day at 10 p.m. where all the shops were going to shut down. So rest assured, we got there at 9:30. We booked it.
Well, all right, then. I got.
We don't come unprepared.
I love the idea that you wouldn't show up with your pharmaceuticals. Like, you're like, yeah, I really need these to be normal. I'm not going to bring enough.
But no, because you can't pass pharmaceuticals around. You can hurt people. People can overdose on pharmaceuticals. You need doctors for that. No, you're not dealing with a harmless substance. We can be treating veterans with harmless substances that are only being stopped because of freaking pharmaceutical and private industry. And it's the same industries and influences that are getting our soldiers killed and having the post-traumatic stress done to them to begin with. So I think that's where we need to go. We need to like focus on self-care and a lot of activism and a lot of what we're doing and unite around this community aspect. Then I'm not saying that we all need to partner up and forget the dumb shit. We need to realize that there's a lot of dumb shit and unite around some actual goals that we can achieve. Just not be shows, try to raise a bunch of money or get on TV or any shit like that. That isn't what this movement can be. That's not what anyone can do in activism. It needs to be local. It needs to be in your neighborhood. And that's where everything's going to have to go, so we can circumvent the federal government. But that shit's not supposed to be our friend.
So this new organization that's going to be created is going to be a lot more sort of organizing grassroots, small grassroots organizations around the country.
To draw them in, bring them. We have doctors on board, former NFL people are involved because they have some of the same stuff, because a lot of this is traumatic brain injury related. So to come out to these facilities where they'll be funded, people can come out and sleep in like a 10 to 20 bedroom apartment. We have houses, we have doctors, we get people with like minds in there. We have therapists, we have growers. We can teach everybody how to do everything, and they're going to get certified and then have all their doctors that everybody that's signed on to bring letters to the VA and try to get the VA to start funding this stuff to get our vets off of freaking Xanax and whatever the other stuff is that's killing them and leading to overdoses, getting people addicted, leading to suicides. Veteran suicide rate is off the charts. And a lot of it can be treated and mitigated through things that we know how to do, but our government's dumb, and we can flood them with information and qualifications, then we can actually make a difference.
This is not the direction I thought this conversation was going to go. I'm
like, wait a minute.
Wildly unprepared to have this portion of the conversation. I'm not going to lie. So I thought we were going to talk about standing.
Well, where's the jokes about... We could have jokes about, I thought it was alcoholism and not being a bunch of potheads.
And whatever happened to taking it out on your wife? You know what I mean? Like, whatever happened to that?
Yeah. I know. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that those comments. You know, like there's a lot of claims in there that I'm not sure that I have enough information to talk about, you know, with any knowledge, to be perfectly honest. Like, you know, I'm not sure if pharmaceuticals are the problem. I don't know that I necessarily have enough knowledge to agree or disagree with that statement, or that cannabis or that psychedelics are really the right alternative for those things. I don't have a stance on that because I just don't know enough about.
Yeah, I don't know enough about
all of those subjects,
medicine, or any of that stuff. Yeah.
So I don't have a.
Well,
thought
ultimately, we know as critical thinkers and skeptics that you want to explore new ideas. You don't want to lock them off and say, "No, we're going to just deal with it this way, and we're actually not going to do something. We know it's a problem, but we're going to keep doing the same thing." It's kind of the same thing I argue with policing, that we can't just keep doing shit we know isn't working. So even if it's not the right thing, just to let the doctors study it and get involved so that we can look for safer alternatives instead of doing shit we know isn't working.
Yeah, I think anybody with any sense would be hard pressed to say that we shouldn't look into, you know, anything. I don't care if it's cannabis or if it's or anything that has any potential for a therapeutic benefit, obviously should be studied and, yeah, you know, evaluated for its efficacy. That's a no-brainer. And I know that, you know, clearly although it's a no-brainer, it's something that there's a lot of political motivation for us not to do.
Sure.
So absolutely, I'm down with that. I wholeheartedly.
Yeah, but like
that.
Morton County Sheriff up there even arrested a couple of veterans that were there with small amounts of cannabis and put them in jail. You know, so they were trying to do some things to take care of themselves. And you can see how the government just doesn't, you know, through these dumb things that we know the drug war doesn't work. We know doing stupid shit, and
we know that the drug. I mean, we've said many times that the drug war is a failed cause. We also are seeing now more and more states are starting to open up cannabis as a legal thing for. Like, I know for sure in Chicago, it's like small amounts of weed are decriminalized. That doesn't mean that you can just go buy
it for white people.
Yeah,
for
okay, white. That's no. Come I guess on. That's probably true. That's probably true.
It's yeah. always true. Yes.
But there's other places in the country where it's perfectly legal to go out and buy.
LA, well, baby.
Also, Colorado. You're saying Colorado. Like, I mean, you know, you go to Colorado.
The whole West Coast. The whole West Coast is perfectly legal. It's all recreational. The entire West Coast
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but our conversation here isn't revolving on recreation, right? You're what you're saying is like, this is about self-care. So this is about using marijuana as a way to medicate.
We need to focus on self-care, period. It's just that some pharmaceutical ways for our veterans certainly aren't working.
Just across, like, okay, I don't know about that. I don't know enough about, I don't know if yeah, the issue.
Across
so
the board.
But I mean, don't you think though that cannabis,
so getting to the legalization,
don't you think that cannabis is going to eventually just become legal in the United States though? I mean, if you said the whole West Coast.
Inevitable. It's inevitable, right?
I agree yeah. with that. Absolutely. You know, I think I just want to say, like, I think we need to be careful about how we talk about pot, right? And I'm not anti-pot at all. So let me say that.
What are you, 52?
Yeah, man, I'm fucking 52.
Here's the
weed,
thing.
What do you want me to talk
about? The reefers.
The marijuanas? Like, I don't fucking care.
Reefered marijuanas?
Whatever, man. It's fucking swell. Fuck off.
They're smoking their reefers. Whatever.
So what are the cool kids saying these days? What are you, fucking 35? You don't fucking know shit either. Fuck you. You fucking got some Snapchat. You think you're fucking one of the cool kids. You don't know shit about shit either. So fuck you and your fucking tone policing bullshit. You're not even a fucking cop. Right. You can't tone
right.
police
so
me.
So the young kids are smoking the reefer these days. Go
reefers.
Ahead.
It's Whatever. A plural.
I give a fuck.
They're reefers.
So my dad used to call smoking it. The my reefers. Dad used to call it the reefers. It was a definite article. The reefers. Yeah.
I do think like, yeah, I mean, my personal opinion is that shit should just be fucking recreationally legal. Like, I think it should absolutely be recreational legal. But I think that's a separate and distinct issue from how we use it in terms of its medical benefit. Like, we need to be careful not to decide something has a medical benefit until it's been studied the same way as anything else that's
studied.
Any
other medicine, yeah.
Where we look at it and we say, okay, you know, I mean, it's so funny that so many people will push back in the skeptical community on bullshit therapies like, you know, magnetic therapy or copper fucking therapy or, you know, fucking taking colloidal silver or any of the rest of that shit. And the reason we push back is because there's no good studies that support the use, the efficacy. We don't know what the dosage is. We don't, you know, all that shit. The same is true for, you know, hammering away at the supplements industry and all the rest of it, right? The issue isn't whether or not it works. It's that it hasn't been studied, it hasn't been proven, it hasn't been shown. If it works, we should be able to study it, prove it, and show it. And I think that's what skeptics are asking for. And I think that we need the same thing. We need to decide, look, let's study it, prove it, and demonstrate it, and then we can dose it and we can dole it out. Until we do that in a systematized way, in a scientific and peer-reviewed way, I think it's just as dangerous or foolish, maybe not dangerous because it's not fucking dangerous, but it's just as foolish to decide that it works and is therapeutic as it would be to decide, you know, fucking tree bark is therapeutic.
Yeah, totally. But they have gotten a lot of science. Like they have it a lot of it's now down, and the arguments have become over what you're saying with dosing and what is the actual compound that's doing it. But the great thing about cannabis is it has no harmful side effect when it's used in adults. So if you you don't have to worry about, oh no, I took too much. Like the worst case scenario is you're just going to have to take a nap.
I mean, your Dorito consumption can go through the roof.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and then you get that orange finger thing. Yeah. Or if it's Cool Ranch, nobody wants to kiss you because you fucking stink because that shit fucking stinks.
But there's a big
difference. I'm just saying Cool Ranch is disgusting. And the people who eat it are fucking shameful. Go on.
That's because you have not been on cannabis today. Or you would change it.
I'd rather eat a hobo's ass than a Cool Ranch Dorito.
Well,
this is somewhere to dip it.
All right, so you're saying about Cool Ranch Doritos.
Anyway, so there's a big difference between something people can grow free and in their house, if we treat it that way, versus something that we allow the pharmaceutical industry to get a hold of, start dosing it and regulating it, and then it becomes part of that same behemoth that's ripping us off.
Who gives a
shit? There is
no, I mean, I want to push exactly. Like, if it works, we should dose it. We should know how much to take for the thing, right? Like, I mean, that's how we treat everything else. We treat everything that way for pretty good reasons, right? Like,
well, cannabis isn't actually a drug, though, because it's a supplement to something you already have. You have a cannabinoid system, so it actually acts
on opioid receptors, too, and that's a drug.
No, those are receptors, so you have to add something in. They don't exist without you adding it in. It's a very different thing. It's more like a vitamin. Your body already produces
vitamin
a cannabinoid system. I'm serious. Read the language.
I got a cold. It's vitamin C.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like a pothead that's trying to push the thing, but I mean, that's what it is.
Guy moves to fucking LA.
He's fucking hitting the bong the whole time he's talking to this guy. Jesus.
Oh my gosh, you guys are impossible. I love being I've tried to navigate serious topics with you guys. This feels like one of the greatest challenges.
Go ahead.
Drug war. Okay. So like if it's going to be used legally for everybody, then why the hell do you care about its medicinal purposes anyway? Why are you going to let pharmaceuticals?
Because they're two separate arguments. That's why. Because if you're going to just, like I said, if we're just going to decide it's all usable recreationally, then I'm 100% pro that. Like, let's do it. Like recreational marijuana.
I'm also 100% pro medical marijuana if it's provable in a peer-reviewed test. Absolutely. Well, 100%.
But they're distinct issues.
Really pro medical marijuana in the concept that we can schedule it for it, and then doctors can issue prescriptions, and our insurance company can pay for our prescriptions. Now, that's a really cool approach that I'm interested in.
Yeah, it's because you want cheaper pot. Is this conversation?
This conversation is about it's all about bringing down the price of a dime bag. That's what this whole thing.
It's a dime bag. Yeah. It's the same price.
It's just more weed.
Damn, that's a quantity issue, Jesus.
Let's talk about the protests that are going on with the anti-protesters and how the police are handling people in those situations. You were a police officer for many years. So tell us what you think about how things were handled in, say, Charlottesville.
Yeah. Is it great or super great, I guess?
Like good for racists or better for racists?
I don't know.
And it's certainly good for racists, but I mean, that's what I've been saying the entire time. That's what policing does. It is the militant wing that executes the will of the oligarchy, and which is that's white supremacy. So that's what policing does. They don't realize they're doing it. That's all the biases in the system that's in place. So they're going to do that every time. We should never be surprised.
So what do you, I mean, like, I want to talk like in terms of like actual actions. Like, so obviously we have a police force, right? And so we have this protest that's going to take place, and we know it. And we know it's going to be controversial as fuck. And we know, because we issued permits, that there's going to be an opposing set of protests. What should the police do?
Yeah. In your, if you,
what, yeah.
Michael Wood is the police chief of Charlottesville. How do you handle that situation where you know
right.
there's going to be a bunch of Nazis and a bunch of anti-Nazis that are going to show up and all fight over a monument? What do you do?
How many cars do you drive through the crowd?
And do you bring the General Lee?
We actually have a police department that does this great. The Capitol Police in D.C., if you want to know, anyone wants to reference any civil disobedience tactics, just go watch the Capitol Police in D.C. They execute it to perfection. So they will line up. They will get their sides. They will not be arresting people. They will push people off to the sides. But you got different issues there, like the open carry thing. So any actual police person that's studying should have been advocating that you would not be having open weapons at a protest. That's got to be part of the permit. You can't have open weapons in the state if you're going to be arguing for that.
Like, sure. Does it matter that they're open rather than concealed?
No, I mean, ultimately, I don't want any handguns. So, right. I mean, yeah. That's
so
my
should
position.
The permit then just be, yeah, you can show up, but you can't come weapons. Armed?
And if
yeah,
then I mean, you see somebody armed, you would just arrest them.
Yeah, you can't come armed to these the thing. That's going to be a condition of a permit. That's easy and not a big deal to establish. But you should be dealing with these things way ahead of time and not letting them get to this point that you're getting here. So it's kind of always like, well, what would you do to solve a problem now after you got to this point when it's always don't get to this fucking point is the ultimate thing, but they're not going to get there. So I wouldn't be in these situations. You have a police department that doesn't serve those kind of interests and doesn't allow white supremacists to come in and do something like that. You just don't permit it that way.
So in Illinois, when we were getting our concealed carry permits, they had said you cannot bring the gun to anything that is sort of a public gathering. So if there's a public gathering, I'm not allowed to concealed carry in Illinois. So if I was going to go to a protest, I could be arrested and get a felony charge for carrying that weapon.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like an absolute no-brainer. So why these areas let ridiculous things like that maintain their books that they're going to enforce? It's like, I don't know. Why are you, I don't know how to mitigate your stupidity to allow that situation.
Yeah. So what do you think about now? I do actually want to talk to you a little bit about police disciplinary action in your system. So so right now, police, it seems like from the outside, it seems like the police are not disciplined a lot.
Hey, wait a minute. That's not fair. I hear all the time that whenever there's something happens, the police are involved. The police officer in question gets a paid administrative leave for a little while, and then when he's back from vacation, they say, "Don't shoot that guy.
Don't do that again."
So that's a timeout.
What does community-led policing do to change that structure?
I bet it's the pillory.
Civilian-led policing, but we're changing that. Right? We don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
So
sorry.
So how did we even say that? I got pissed off with you saying the wrong thing. It's civilian-led policing.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, yeah, no, right. So let me tell you about
short-term memory.
It's a misperception.
Cannabis.
Yeah, whatever. So there's a misperception in place in that cops aren't punished. When this really struck me is when I realized that I had known well over 100 cops that had been arrested for crimes that they committed in uniform From Baltimore. Hold on. Baltimore. From Baltimore. Yeah, I know you're dumb too, but you're in Chicago. So
we don't arrest our cops.
Let them do it.
We don't give a shit about it. Our cops just like, God, I just shot a baby.
Yeah, the moment you start mentioning it, they take you to the police black site here and they kill you.
Which they legitimately have these black sites here.
So now you threw me off track again. Why the hell do you guys do this?
What hell? Head,
okay,
buddy.
No, stop. God, it's you guys. Anyway,
I'm gonna punctuate all your silences with bombs.
Yeah, I got you.
I make sure.
So, 100 cops out of roughly 3,000 to 4,000 cops that were even in the department, and that is a way higher rate of going to jail than the general population. So cops are actually probably arrested at a higher rate than the general population. So they are punished.
But it's just the big shit that they get off on.
So the thing is when you can blame the cop, then they're punished. When their infraction indicts the system or command, then nothing ever happens. Because that's
okay,
the
that
system.
Makes sense. So what are they getting arrested for? Like, tell me, like, what are they
getting arrested for? Like, stealing money off
people?
Sure,
stealing
stuff?
Money. I mean, I knew three that were, like, attempted murder. Stealing drugs. There was a towing truck scandal. Bunch of things like that.
In community-led policing,
so
though, how
does
that change that?
Now I'm not,
whatever, it's the same thing.
Not the same thing.
Cthulhu-led policing.
Jesus. So, anyway, we still have to remember that punishment is not a deterrent for the future occurrence of anything. So it's never got to be the primary function of what we're doing. So everything we do has to be focused towards protecting the public. And I think that whatever that means, that's for you guys to decide under the system and how you want to handle that. That's one of the things I would totally leave up to an argument with the population on how you want to discipline your officers. I'm going to make my argument to you that punishment isn't the deal, that most variety of situations, if we get to this point where an officer is standing in front of the top board that's controlling the entire police department, you fucked up enough that you probably don't get to be a cop.
So what about in this civilian-led policing, I think I said it right this time.
Are civilians part of a community?
It could be. Does it change, though? You're talking about punishments for police officers in, a way that many places all over the globe already agree with this, in the sense that punishing someone doesn't help change their behavior.
Isn't something to agree with. This is scientific fact. Vladimir Putin recognizes this and says he's against the death penalty and mandatory minimums and stuff because every scientist agrees that that does not do anything to lessen crime.
What about our prison system then? Does your idea for civilian-led policing change our prison system or does it just stay the exact same way? Because wouldn't you have to change a lot of different systems for this to work?
No, I say we mitigate it. So if we don't like the way the state has doing their prisons, I mean, think about Mayberry back in the day. That sounds kind of weird to say it like that, but you have jails. You can have jails where you just hold people. You don't have to send them to the state and send them into that for-profit prison industry. You don't have to do that. That's a choice you make. We don't have to make that choice.
So the community would hold them? Like, is that what you're saying? Like, a series of like micro jails?
Yeah, you can do your own idea of policing. So these are your cops. Do what you want.
God, man, I think about the Cook County Detention Center. Don't
send your people there. Just say, I'm not going to send them there. If this guy is drunk, then we're going to build a drunk tank and we're going to take people there and we're going to get doctors to come take care of them. And we're not going to send them into a system that's going to hurt them. We can mitigate it. We can overrule.
Seems weird, though, because then we wouldn't hurt these people we're trying to hurt.
I know, because here's a fundamental problem that we have. Americans view justice as
vengeance.
Revenge plus equality.
Well, maybe not revenge, but certainly you want violent
equality.
Retribution.
No, revenge. I think that's... Never mind. So we need to fundamentally change what we see justice as. Versus what our entire society allows us. And even when I say the police can do what you want, like you kind of sit there like, what are you talking about? Because it's so mind blowing to us that we could actually be in charge of our own futures. Like, that's how corrupted the entire system has made us. We're like, what? There's not somebody to tell us how we will be policed and tell us exactly how police should abuse us and throw us into a criminalized system that's definitely going to hurt our future. Like, we can actually take over and do it ourselves.
Now, any leads at all for, because I know that that your goal is to find a city to become a police chief. Has anything ever materialized for that?
No. I don't want to be the police chief. I gave that up long ago. I'm just going to consult for whoever wants to do this. I think they should have their own people, and there are people that can do this. I understand how to do the system with using the personnel you have. I don't need to do the work.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally get it. Yeah, you want to get paid to be a consultant. Right. I understand. Okay. That's where the real money is anyway. Yeah. We understand. They pay people in edibles, so we understand.
Right. So I think, in a weird way, well, really, Albuquerque is super promising, which is a weird thing.
No one's ever said that. That's so interesting. Nobody's ever said Albuquerque is super promising. Mostly just take a wrong turn.
They only need 14,000 signatures on a referendum, which is really doable. And they have some people there working on that. Canada, again, you're going to say, wow, shocker. A lot of people there is promising. They're kind of running with the idea a little bit more.
Again, shocking statement. A lot of that promising.
I preempted you. You can't make the joke after I said you were going to make the joke.
I will make the jokes I make. They're just going to show up and fucking apologize to their criminals anyway.
So Michael, if people were going to find this new project yours, where would they look?
I don't know where they're going to look for the Veterans Project going forward. So I'll have to push that out later just by following me on Twitter.
So I'll put it on. I'll put a link to your Twitter so that you'll let them know once it comes out.
Yeah, easiest thing there. And civilian-led policing is civilianledpolicing.org.
You can also find it at community-led policing.
No, you cannot. Community-led policing is a federal program that bastardized policing. That's having officers on foot patrol in your neighborhood. That's not what we want.
This is what we want.
Michael, it's always so much fun to have you on. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, buddy.
Vicious. Yeah, whatever.
We'd like to thank our patrons. We'd like to thank all our patrons, but of course, we'd like to thank our newest patrons. We have quite a few here: Morgan, Tom, Heather, Sherry, Rick, John, Roger, Eleanor, Austin, Amy, Candace, Deb, AJ, Chase, Mark, Amanda, Teresa, the Godless Sociologist blog, Nix, Justin, Dustin, the Skeptical Junkyard, Fadu, Ryan, Legalize the Perch, Samantha, Justin, Joe, Andrew, Richard, Austin, Alex, Richard, Naomi, Cone Man, the Bong Baron, Jeff, Luke, Taylor, Trent, Josh, Canadian Shocker.
That's when you apologize after.
That's only when you use the pinky in right. one of them.
Which one?
Tim. Whichever one they want.
All right.
And you apologize
ahead
of time.
That's so polite.
John, Joel, Kane, Emerson, Catherine, Tabitha, Gennaro, the Golden Cod, Maruz, Kevin, Mike, You Are Here, Sci-Fi Audio Drama, Lot, Brock, Fog Lover, and Melissa, thank you all so much for your generous donations.
Thank you.
We are still hopefully going to be working our way towards the Cecil Quits His Job goal. So yes. If you're interested in Cecil quitting his job, you may want to head on over to patreon.com, sign up as on a per episode donation. The closer we get to that goal, the better off
Cecil is.
the closer I am to not working as a corporate person anymore. And that would be a change in life that I would certainly welcome. So if it's something you're interested in doing, you can go on over to patreon.com/dissonancepod and pledge on a per episode donation. We thank all our patrons, though. Thank you all so very much for your generous donations.
It would also mean, I think, that we could do a lot more interesting shit with the show if you had full time to dedicate to it.
Absolutely. I feel like better and different guests, a lot more different interactions and those sorts of things would be the norm. We got an interesting message. This is from Alex, and Alex says that he was listening to Pod Save the People. And I don't know that podcast, although I I suspect it's made by the same people who make Pod Save the World or something, which is a very popular podcast. But they interviewed a person who was the governor of Virginia, and they talked to him about what happened down there, what happened during that the state of emergency that was happening. And they said that the reason why there was not as many police stopping things from happening, at least according to this interview, was that there was a lot of problems with open carry.
Yeah, in fact, he says that the protesters in some cases had a better arsenal than the Virginia National Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what happens, too, when you have this kind of, you know, no gun control, gun control, right?
Absolutely. So I talked about floppy eared Dobermans last episode, and Katie sent in a picture of her dog that is absolutely adorable. So I'm going to post it on this episode's show notes because that is a rare pupper, and I'm going to post that. That is so cute. That Doberman is so cute. So we're going to post it on this week's show notes. Katie, thanks for sending in. I also do not want to weigh in on that anymore, so I'm done weighing in. Mike asks, do you think being a troll and being and saying racist things that you apparently don't really believe is better, as bad, or worse than being a genuine racist?
You know, I don't know how you can say racist things without being kind of racist.
Kind of racist, right?
You know?
You got to kind of,
Like, right?
Yeah.
So, but let's assume the premise of the question. I think a troll is as bad as a racist. Yeah. I don't see an appreciable difference.
Yeah.
Why do we dislike racism, right? We dislike racism because it's an attempt to belittle and harm other people who've done nothing to deserve that belittling and harming, right? It is a belittling and harming that has nothing to do with the content of the character of the person that you're belittling and harming, right? Well, I don't really see much of a distinction between racists and trolls.
Yeah.
I really don't. Trolling is a repugnant, valueless activity that seeks to harm other people for no reason.
Yeah. So the same thing with racism.
Right.
Yeah. It's the exact same thing. And the person contends here that knowing that you're doing something wrong is worse than just being indoctrinated.
Yes. Yeah, just being wrong.
The problem is that even though you're indoctrinated or racist, I think everybody understands the value of what is happening there. Yeah. They understand they're being selfish and that they dislike other human beings. I don't think you can be a racist and not be self-aware that you're a racist.
In 2017, yeah. I'm right there with you.
So Tom, Jason has an interesting question for us. He says, many years from now, when the train wreck is all over, something like the Trump presidency, who is your pick to play Trump in a movie?
It's a good question. It's one I actually want to leave up to the audience. So tweet it to us.
Yeah.
Tweet us. Who would you like to see play Trump in the inevitable movie of this goddamn train wreck?
And you know what?
Who played W in the movie W? That was an excellent movie.
I don't remember. But I will say this. This week, we'll ask Megan to post it on Facebook, and you should reply with a GIF.
Oh, I love it.
So we'll set that up for this week.
Yep.
We got a message from Eric, and Eric wants us to mention a website. We're trying to spread the word for this website. And this is a website for a nonprofit. It's strikeoutslavery.com. It's to stop human trafficking. So we're going to put a link to it on this week's show notes. Check it out. We'll also put a link to a video that that Eric sent from Twitter. We'll also put a link there too. Check out this week's show notes and you can head to the website or check out the video. So we want to thank Michael Wood Jr. for joining us today. Michael Wood can be found on Twitter. We'll put a link on this week's show notes to all the things that he does. You can check him out there. And I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain deadpan sales pitch, late night infodocutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.